magnify your present problem by grumbling and complaining. Don't take your eyes off of the Lord, who's the solution to all of our bitter experiences. And most of all, please, my brothers and sisters.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting. All day.
All right.
It's gonna be all right.
It's really gonna be all right.
It's gonna be all right.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church. Pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations. 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
When you think of what Jesus has done for you, what a price he paid for each one of us. What a debt we owe. I don't want you to think about the person on the side of you, in front of you, or behind you. I just want you to think about yourself and what the Lord Jesus has done for you. Did not he pay a debt you couldn't pay for yourself? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Get your Bibles and stand to your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, it is in Jesus' wonderful name we pray that you would allow the Holy Ghost afresh to move within the confines of the text. Teach us what you'll have us to know. Impart understanding, illumination, and then power to practice these principles. So when we shall have finished this word, we shall be able to walk therein. And God will be ever so careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. God bless you. If you turn your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. I want to commence with verse 22. Recorded are these words. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. Resurrection, proof that God can. Let me continue, as you are seated, with reading a few of the following verses. Verse 25 says, "For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance." Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and in his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he said himself, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool." Verse 36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that name, that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." My brothers and sisters, as we look at this word today, resurrection. Proof that God can. Amen. The first thing that we know is that God can resurrect. Jesus Christ is the supreme proof of the resurrection power of God. And so many times when we gather on this day to celebrate what we term Easter or Resurrection Sunday, most folk find it hard to conjure up the true excitement that belongs to the believer on this day, because they have not really understood the dynamics of the spirit of resurrection. You see, while we look at Christ as the first fruits of them that slept, it's important to realize that Jesus was the first resurrected of the people of God. Well, you're saying, well, that were people who died and they came back to life again. Yes, they were returned to life, but they died again. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Jesus was resurrected never ever to die again. He shows us what it's going to be like when we experience the revelation in this body of ours, because once we know him in the spirit realm, whatever comes into the likeness of Jesus Christ follows in the reality of the believers. And so we rejoice not just because Jesus died and Jesus rose, but the truth of the matter is that same resurrection power is made available to the believer. Now you might say, well, preacher, that's all good. I'm gonna shout when I die and am raised again. But that's not what this is all about either. That is the end result of the resurrection, that we will rejoice in a personal way. But what I want you to know and understand is the power of the resurrection that is real and working in the lives of believers right now. I want you to recognize something, my brothers and sisters, when we look at this word and see it as the Lord would have us to. There are some things that literally pop out in the text and in the verses we have read in your hearing. There are three things, and whatever else resurrection is, I want you to know they include these three things. Now, there are some things about this verse, about the verses that we've shared with you that I want us to see again. One of the things that I find quite interesting is the fact that as Peter makes this declaration and shares this word historically with Israel, it is a word pragmatically still for us today. Because some of the things that you're going to understand, and he brings out according to this resurrection that we are all witnesses of. He uses the word witness. It's not just in this case, but in many cases is where the resurrection is mentioned. There is in that verse or very close to it, the word witnesses. Now there are two witnesses. There are firsthand witnesses, and then there are faith witnesses. In this building today, I don't believe, I could be wrong, but I don't believe there are any firsthand witnesses. You wasn't there when they hung him on the cross, and you watched him give up his life, and you watched them take him down and put him in Joseph of Arimathea's new tomb. You wasn't there when they tried to seal the tomb and keep him there and hold him down. And early that third day morning, were there at the tomb when the stone was rolled. You weren't there when he got up and the angels were sitting there proclaiming, Jesus is not here, he has risen. You weren't there, were you? So you were not, and you are not, a firsthand witness. But by faith, because God's word is true, because God's word is real, because God's word is infallible, you believe it by faith. Now here's the point that you join in, the benefits and the blessings. It was Israel's because of them being God's chosen people. By faith, we join in the blessings. By faith, through Abraham, we have the multitudinous blessings that belong to the children of God. So we are included and incorporated in the benefits of the resurrection power. Amen. I've said to the church so many times, that great evangelist, Reverend R.W. Shambach said, if your problem is not greater than the resurrection, you don't have a problem. And that's what I want to bring into the forefront of your consciousness. Because while you might not be able to shout about Jesus getting up out of the grave this early Sunday morning experience, maybe you can shout about because he lives what you are able to face, and because he lives what you're able to deal with, and because he lives how you are the living demonstration in the earth realm of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, still ready to operate and perform in the lives of believers today. There are three things I want you to see about resurrection, because again, when you look at it, whatever else they are these things. The first thing it is, resurrection represents restoration. A return of something to a former, original, normal, or unimpaired condition. Restitution of something, taken or lost. A putting back into former position, dignity. Now, one of the things that you're going to recognize is because Jesus was resurrected by God, what God did for Jesus, I need you to know today, he's willing and waiting to do for you. Amen. The cross took the dignity of Jesus away, because there were people there who were witnesses looking at him. The cross was meant for criminals, murderers, thieves, the unlawful, the unrighteous, and there yet he hung on a cross that was not meant for him, but for every one of us in this place today. And so the dignity that belonged to the Son of God, who was righteous and sinless and pure, was removed from the eyes of the world because he hung on a cross that had your name on it. There was no more dignity in the ministry and the work that he did in the eyes of those who had beheld him hanging on a cross and looking at all of the wonderful things he had done. As a matter of fact, the last shred of dignity that he could have held on to came from a blow when one of the thieves says, if you are the Son of God, like you say you are, you've saved others, now save yourself and us. And Jesus would not come down off that cross. And the last shred of dignity left him in the eyes of the people, because they really didn't believe He was who he said he was. All my brothers and sisters, a Roman soldier hung around the cross after hearing Jesus declare to his Father, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And the Bible said after he said thus, he gave up the ghost. But without this message being quite clear, don't count me out. Don't count me out, because what Jesus knew was that the death was not the end, but the death was the beginning of a new life. If he had not died, then none of us would be sitting in this place today. None of us would know the grace of God, the mercy of God, the righteousness of God, nor the benefits of God. He died for you, and he died for me, and he died so that we could experience the resurrection power that he himself experienced only by the hand of God. Don't count me out. Was the message of Jesus giving up his life to his Father? Because the word is, and I want you to see it back in the written writ. Listen to what he says. The Holy Writ says this: him being delivered, verse 23, by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain him. See, Jesus knew that he and the Father had a plan. And the devil was not privy to the plan, but the devil was a part of the plan. And so when the devil thought that he had this thing worked out, he didn't understand that by the predeterminate counsel and foreknowledge of God, that all of this had a sequential order, that all of this had its perfect timing, that Jesus would be the conductor and he would be the one who would say when it's over. And everything that the devil did, he did it in God's timing. And so when Jesus finally laid down his life, he was ready then to die. And it was in the dying that it was signed, sealed, and delivered, that whosoever believeth in me shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Listen, God restored him, brought him back to his original form, to his original glory. But I want you to see, God didn't stop in the resurrection with restoration. He included renewal. Because renewal is so important. And while you see this about Jesus, what is most important is in the end, all of this is still talking about you. Listen at this. Renewal has to do with the act of renewing, the state of being renewed, an instance in time. Amen. An instance in a moment. When we come to the Lord Jesus Christ and accept him as our Savior, the Lord gives to us a renewed spirit. God gives to us a renewed lease on life. God gives us another chance. God elevates us from our lower state to the highest state as a child of God. When we are accepting of Jesus Christ and the resurrection power that raised him and renewed him, it is that same power that renews us and gives to us a new lease on life. Well, why is that so important? Let me just ask a question. Since you've been saved, have you missed the mark? Have you sinned? Have you sinned on purpose? More than one time? The same sin over and over again? Don't get quiet on me. I'm talking to you now. And when you ask for forgiveness, do you know what he did? He renewed you. And he cast your sins behind his back and forgot about it. Otherwise, he would have had to remember. And if he would have remembered, he would not have renewed you. And so you know this, but this is here the point of resurrection power. Because not only is there restoration in resurrection, not only is there renewal in resurrection, but thirdly, you're going to discover that there's redirection in resurrection. You see, my brothers and sisters, when he restores you and when he renews you, it is ultimately to redirect you. That's why the old saints used to say, I was sinking far into sin, going down, weapon in my hand, no God on my side. But they heard about Jesus, accepted Jesus, received Jesus, and listen, he gave them a brand new start. Well, I ain't just talking about the old folk. Is there anybody in the house who know he's given you a brand new start? This redirection, listen at this, is in the opposite direction of death and hell. When you accepted Jesus, he intercepted your course and changed your agenda and changed your direction. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. That was the Old Testament. Brothers and sisters, Jesus redirects our paths. But I want you to recognize the old man wants to go the way of the flesh, but the new man wants to go the way of the spirit. Paul records in the 7th chapter of Romans that there is an inner conflict going on. There's a struggle with the flesh and the spirit. And I got news for you. That struggle is still remaining in many of us in many ways that we've not yet used the resurrection power to overcome. He said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Then he says, he gives thanks to God for Jesus, who paid the price so that we could be redirected. You were on your way to hell. I don't care how good you acted. You were on your way to hell. I don't care how much you came to church. The Jews were religious, but they were not righteous. And there are a whole lot of religious people who one day will look from hell up to heaven and wonder how they missed it. It was because they were religious and not righteous. See, you can go in a way that seemeth right, but the Bible says the end thereof are the ways of death. So one of the things that the resurrection power does for us is it redirects us. Or sometimes when the flesh get a hold of us, it makes us want to go. And we might make a few steps in the wrong direction, but the Holy Ghost constrains us. The Holy Ghost taps us on the shoulder and says, where you going? Taps us on the shoulder, what you doing? Well, I was on my way. No. You've been delivered from that. Let me redirect you and turns you in another direction. What I love about it is the resurrection power is still redirecting us each and every day of our life. How many of us still know that when we miss it, he still picks us up and turns around? When we decide to go the wrong way, he intercepts our course. How many can witness that he's still redirecting us now? The resurrection power is to redirect us for three reasons. One, for our walk. He's got to redirect us in our walk so that we don't walk the way we used to walk. There is a different walk in the world as there is the walk in the Word. I don't care who you were in the world. You remember your walk in the Word. You know, you were cool. You had that little swagger about you. You wanted the world to look at you because you were all about you and nobody else. And your walk was turned toward destruction. The flesh your stomach, your appetite, your eyes, your mind was all about the flesh. Do unto others first, because they're trying to get you. Your walk was all about a limited time in this world. But the resurrection power is to redefine you and to redirect you so that your walk changes when your heart changes, when your thought changes. And I look at some of the brothers today, even today. They've been saved, but they ain't fully been converted. And some of them still got a little trying to hold on to it. Let it go, brothers. He's trying to redirect you here. Let it go. Why is that important? Because here's what you need to know. What you used to be, where you used to live, how you used to act, is all a part of a dead man, an old man, or used to be you. You are a new creation in Christ. Your walk ought to change now. There ought to be pep in your step, and there ought to be bigger vim and vitality in how you move, but it ought to be with the essence of righteousness. You ought to walk like you're going somewhere, not like you spotting something out. You ought to walk like I'm on king's business, and king's business require haste. I ain't got time to lag. And one of the problems with not walking right is you see too much. But you focus yourself head on to take care of the king's business, and a whole lot of that mess in the peripheral view you won't even see. As a matter of fact, you stir up interest when you walk with the righteous walk of God, and on the way to take care of king's business, folk want to know, where he going? He sure is in a hurry. Every time I see him, he's moving here, moving there, because he's taking care of the king's business. Second reason why God redirects us is for our work. Our work. Why is it important to recognize that we must be redirected in our work? Because ultimately, my brothers and sisters, your works in the end will be the very thing that speaks for you. Your works will speak about your faith and your faithfulness and about your relationship with your Father. Your works will be the signature of your life's accomplishments. And so many of us, when we look at our works right now, if the Lord were to call us home, because he's going to reward us for our works, not for your talk, not for your coming to church, not for your praising, not for your worship, but he's going to reward you for your works. And if your works are not worthy, they will be burned up in the fire. And so on that day when rewards are handed out and you're next in line, some of you will have a consciousness that knows this paycheck is going to be small. Because you're going to be up there now, what qualifies for work? What did I do for the kingdom of God? How did I build the kingdom of God when he saved me with his resurrection power? What do I have to show for my being redirected? So my brothers and sisters, what you don't recognize is that you won't be able to do no works in heaven. If you're going to ever do any works, it's going to have to be done right here and right now. Time and tomorrow is not promised to us. And so we must be clear about the fact that the only way we can really do real work for God is to have the resurrection power of Jesus to help us overthrow.